From Decatur to Dunwoody, from Tucker to Toco Hills, from Chamblee to Stone Mountain, this is the voice of commerce in DeKalb County. Now, broadcasting from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Decatur, this is DeKalb Business Today.
And welcome into another edition of DeKalb Business Today here on DeKalb Business Radio. My name is Matt Holmes, joined by a tremendous panel of guests from in and around the DeKalb County area. We'll introduce them coming up in just a second. But first, I want to remind you, you can find DeKalb Business Radio on social media. We're on Twitter at DeKalb Radio X. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DeKalb Business Radio X. Of course, listen live each Friday at 10 and noon here on DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com. If you miss the live feed, you can catch our free podcasts on our site, where they're a free download on iTunes. And remind you, as always, this edition of DeKalb Business Today is brought to you by the Bernellis Insurance Group of Dunwoody. For all your insurance needs, contact Callan and her talented team at 1-800-376-8967, or just check out the link on our website, DeKalb.BusinessRadioX.com. All right, I want to get to our panel now and introduce our first guest. Her name is Linda Martin with Goodwin Growth Works. And Linda, you're one of the first guests we've had from the Brookhaven area.
Well, we're glad to be here representing Brookhaven.
And I understand that you've been there in some way, shape, or form for quite a while. Tell us, we were talking about before the air, kind of a fun fact about your business.
My business has been there for 15 years. I've been there off and on all my life, and really as a twinkle in the stars for seven generations.
That's amazing. The building that you were in, just off Peachtree, I guess, that your business is in your family for seven generations.
That's right.
That's very cool. All right. Tell us a little bit about Goodwin Growth Works and what you do.
I help leaders of small to mid-sized businesses get what they want out of their business. And so I'm working with them on getting clear about three things that we call vision, traction, and healthy. Implementing a system of tools that is practical and simple so that they can, in terms of vision, be on the same page about where they're going and how they're going to get there, be accountable and disciplined with each other. That's often challenging in smaller businesses. And then finally, be a cohesive, healthy, effective leadership team. Once you get the leaders doing that, the whole company gets all their human energy freed up and going in one direction.
Very cool. The website is goodwingrowth.com. You can follow them on Twitter at goodwingrowth. Linda, we'll talk with you more about your business coming up in just a couple minutes.
Great.
All right, our second guest is Bridget Lewis, a repeat guest of the show. She's with Workplace Learning Solutions. They're on the web at workplace-learning-solutions.com. Bridget, it's nice to have you back.
Hi, Matt.
So, October, we're talking about cybersecurity. Obviously, the Halloween season, things can be scary, and cybersecurity certainly can be one of those.
Absolutely, and that's why we're here. We want to make sure that small businesses know how to recognize the risk, how to prepare for those risks, and, you know, essentially how not to underestimate the fact that just because you're a small business doesn't mean that you are immune.
Why is cybersecurity so important for the small business community? Are they actively being targeted? Is it something you've seen?
Actually, yes. And a lot of small businesses might think that because they're small, you know, that makes them less of a target, but it actually makes them more of a target because the hackers recognize one thing. As a small business, we really don't have the resources so that we can put in place, you know, the types of systems and securities that would prevent hackers from accessing our information. And they also know that we work with large companies, large corporations. So they use us as a backdoor to get in. And so it's very important for us as small businesses, even though we think that we don't necessarily have what hackers want, we actually do have access to those who do. So this is really big.
All right, we'll get some of your recommendations on small businesses and cybersecurity coming up. Again, Bridget Lewis from Workplace Learning Solutions. Follow them on Twitter at WLS Training Co. Now, our third guest is Pete Hajar from Reliable Restoration. Pete, glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about what it is that your company does.
Well, Reliable Restoration, we're experts in disaster recovery. And by that, I mean we specialize in keeping businesses running or homes livable after water, fire, flood disasters. Our company serves a multitude of local, regional, and even national accounts, such as hospitals, nursing homes, assisted living facilities, high-rise structures, multiple buildings, hotels, and multifamily structures. We provide water and restoration services, contents cleaning, fire cleanup, and reconstruction to all our clients. Bottom line, our main focus is limiting business interruption and getting clients back to work or families back into their homes quickly.
And we've talked about it before. This is not necessarily an industry that you're new at. You've been doing this for quite a while.
Since 1986.
That's a good long time, about 30 years.
Yes.
That's awesome. Well, we'll look forward to talking more about reliable restoration coming up over the course of the show. Our fourth guest, kind of tangentially related, and that is Captain Eric Jackson with DeKalb Fire. This is the face that you see on TV. It's the voice that you hear on the radio anytime there is some sort of emergency or something in DeKalb County. It's good to have you here.
Great to be here.
So tell us a little bit about the day-to-day job. When people think fire department, they think of firefighters with the hose and everything, but there's a lot more that goes on at the fire department than that.
Oh, absolutely. We are a multifunctional, multidimensional organization, that being DeKalb County Fire Rescue. So often I tell and explain to people that we do more than just fight fires and go on medical calls. And we do hazmat. We do airport crash fire rescue. We do woodland. We do inspections. We check hydrants. We do training. We're always in the territory, driving the streets to always feel for a lay of the land, because we always have new personnel. So it's important. Response times are important. You know, when folks call us, they want us to be there as quickly as possible. So we have to do our due diligence and making sure that we get to where we need to in a sufficient and efficient matter of time. So it's so much that goes on in fire rescue, I can't even begin to explain it all, but just a wonderful organization, and certainly one that's here to assist the public in anything that they need.
For your particular job, your particular position, how'd you get there? How'd you get into this?
Interestingly enough, I came up with this idea and had the thought that our fire rescue department needed a spokesperson. We needed someone to embody what fire rescue, DeKalb Fire Rescue, was all about. We needed someone to hold up the image, maintain the brand, and be there to answer any question that anyone had about DeKalb Fire Rescue. And doing that through public relations, community relations, media relations was certainly a great fit. And so for the over in and out for the past 10 years, I've served as the department spokesperson, speaking to a number of different organizations, groups, media mediums. And I tell you what, I just really enjoy it. You know, I had a chief to tell me, if you enjoy doing something you love, you'll never work a hard day in your life. And that's what I stand on.
And I think a lot like Pete's business, if it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you get that call. If it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you get that call and you're going to answer it.
Absolutely.
It's maybe the downside of the job, but that's okay. It's the reality of it. Captain Eric Jackson with DeKalb Fire. Their website's DeKalbFireRescue.org. On Twitter at DCFR Pub Affairs. We'll talk more with you coming up a little bit later in the show.
Sounds good.
This is DeKalb Business Today on DeKalb Business Radio. Matt Holmes circling back with Linda Martin. She's with Goodwin Growth Works over there in Brookhaven, on the web at goodwingrowth.com. So talk to me a little bit more about some of the businesses that you're working with. What kinds of businesses are you targeting?
I'm working with a financial planning firm, a commercial construction firm that rehabs restaurants overnight, essentially. I spent 2 days earlier in the week on Lake Superior with 5 engineers.
Wow.
Who do controls for large buildings, heating air buildings.
So it's not just local. You kind of expand wherever you're needed.
Yes, although I like Atlanta, so I would rather stay here.
Talk to me about, you've worked with over 100 entrepreneurial companies, you say. What have you found to be some of their biggest problems, biggest issues?
Well, you know, kind of on the Halloween theme about what's scary, what's really scary for a small business is to hire somebody. Do I have the money to pay them going forward? Will I still have the money to pay them? And will I get the right person? So that whole cash flow, get the right people in place, huge.
What do you recommend to help them tackle some of the challenges, these entrepreneurial companies?
Plan, plan, plan. Make sure that you really know what you want if you're going to hire somebody. Take the time. I know it's such a rush. We're busy. We need help. But taking time to figure out exactly what you want will help you get the right person and help you explain to them what you want so that they'll stay once you've invested in the cost of hiring and training them.
That's an interesting idea. You talk about finding the right person. Maybe you don't think about the other side of it, and that's cash flow projection, making sure if you hire that right person, you can pay that right person. What kind of advice do you give to companies there?
Well, I actually make them sit down and do a spreadsheet with a budget and cash flow projection. And then of course, you can't predict the future. And people will say, we shouldn't do this because we can't predict the future. But really, you can, to the best of your ability, predict and at least see if it's possible.
So how did you get into this industry? What was your background?
Well, I started, my family had a lot of small businesses, and I always wondered why Uncle Jack, who was very successful, was so happy, and Aunt Elizabeth, who was also very successful, was not so happy. And so it always made me wonder, well, what's the difference and what can work? And even when I went into corporate, I had that question in the back of my mind and learned all kinds of stuff that I thought, wow, this would have helped our businesses if we had had it. So when the opportunity came to do that 20 years ago, I jumped at it.
So coaching, consulting, implementing is what you do. What does it do for a business? What results have you seen?
We average 18% growth across 1,800 businesses that are using this system I was talking about. So that's one result. Sanity is another result, which if you...
Can you put a price tag on that?
No. People want us to help their bottom line, their top line revenues. But at the end of the day, what they say is, thank you for giving me back my family. Thank you for giving me back my health. And now I see how we can double the business and it won't kill me.
The other side of that is you're asking people in lots of cases to change their ways. People can get set in their ways, especially business people.
Oh, yeah. And engineers. So that's fresh in my mind,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is very true.
So what do you say to them to help get them out of their comfort zone? Because that's got to be a challenge.
Well, I call myself not just a coach and consultant, but a headbanger. So sometimes it just takes knocking heads together, mm-hmm, or as we call it, ripping the Band-Aid off. Sometimes it is re-presencing them to what they want to do. You want more time with your family. You want better profits. Has what you've been doing helped you do that? No, that's why you've got me there. So if you keep doing the same thing, what do we know about that? And you're going to get the same results. Mm-hmm. What do we call that? Insanity.
Yep.
So sometimes I have to be very persuasive.
So how do you spread the word about your business? You're working in the B2B community. Is it all word of mouth? Is there a social media aspect? How do you do that?
Well, I'm definitely on social media, on LinkedIn, and I have a blog, and I'm on Twitter, and that helps get the word out. But really, this is a high trust position. People, you know, I sometimes know more about them than their family, their accountants, their mm-hmm clergy. And so it is best if I'm introduced by a close friend.
Because if they're going to make this work, if you are going to make this work to help them, it's going to be 100% honest. It's going to be transparent. You need that.
Yes. And we work very hard to set a setting where people feel safe, where they could be vulnerable. But we're also going after hardcore business results. So it's a very interesting dichotomy.
Awesome. Awesome. Linda Martin from Goodwin GrowthWorks. You can find more about her company and how you can contract their business at goodwingrowth.com. Follow them on Twitter at Goodwin Growth. And we appreciate you being here today.
Thank you, Matt.
So let's get back with Bridget Lewis from Workplace Learning Solutions. They're on the web at workplace-learningsolutions.com. What are some of the trends that you're seeing when it comes to cyber threats to small businesses?
Thank you, Matt. Like we said earlier, this is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and so this is a month when we've really focused a lot on, bringing the information to the community. And one of the biggest things that we hear a lot in this environment is that the instances of malware are escalating, number one, and number two, that people are no longer able to really quickly discern a cyber threat because hackers have become so sophisticated. They know that, you know, the average person isn't going to respond to the email about Aunt Sally who's trapped in South America.
Uh-huh.
And so they have found ways to infiltrate our social networks, our email. I was recently targeted on LinkedIn and got an email from someone I know and respect and thought that it was real, only to find out that it was not. So they have gotten very, very sophisticated with the way that they are attacking individuals and small businesses. And 95% of the time, we actually open the door and let them in. It's not they didn't break in. We let them in. And so one of the things that we try to do with our cybersecurity training is to help people become aware of how these hackers are, you know, making their way in, and what are some things they can do to prevent that from happening and to protect not just your personal information, but also if you are a small business owner, your business, if you're an employee for a large organization, how you can take responsibility for your actions to ensure that you're not that doorway that lets the hackers in. Oftentimes, like I said earlier, with the small business, we tend to not really realize just how attractive we are to the hackers. And it's important for us to be educated. So that's one of the things we promote. We're promoting education, you know, awareness, knowing what to look for and how to not get trapped by the email hacker, by the download. A lot of times we download things that are just sitting dormant, waiting for when we access our corporate clients' accounts, and then it activates. And how would you feel to be the person to have, you know, let that person, that hacker in?
It's interesting when you talk about opening an email from a friend, somebody that you know. It's something that I would take for granted. So I guess the word that you're putting out there is skepticism. People should be skeptical of what it is that's in their inbox.
Yep, you have to be skeptical. You have to critically analyze what the content of that particular communication is, because you can't only go on the language clues anymore. It used to be that you get an email that, you know, seems to be from the president of international bank in South America. But when you read the details, the English is so bad that you'd be dumb not to recognize that this is a fake. Well, they have gotten really smart, and now the emails will come across looking legit, looking real, sounding legit, using your name. As if this is an email from my friend, and she's, you know, referring to me by name. But you know, we have to be so critical. One of the things that I did with that particular email, something didn't ring too true about it. So I emailed my friend and asked her, "Did you send me this?" And if I hadn't done that, I probably would have, you know, moved forward with whatever it is that the email was asking me to do.
And that's got to be an oh no moment for her to find out that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yes.
This is DeKalb Business Today and DeKalb Business Radio. Matt Holmes talking with Bridget Lewis from Workplace Learning Solutions. When we talk about cybersecurity for small businesses, is there a type of business that's more vulnerable? Is there a type of business that's completely immune?
Unfortunately, none of us are immune. Whether you're in retail or consulting or healthcare or childcare, whether you're a CPA, even service organizations, you are a mechanic or a cleaning company. It doesn't matter who you are, as long as you are collecting customer information, such as basic things like names and addresses, more complex things like social security numbers, banking information, payment information, and that type of data. If you need to be even more aware. But none of us are immune. So even a consultant, for example, you're a solopreneur, and you have a couple of government contracts or a couple of contracts within the corporate community. You may feel, well, I'm just a one-man show, so why do they need me? Well, if your client has given you access to data within their organization that you have to log into their system to access, then you are a prime target, because whatever, you know, malware that gets downloaded, it just sits and waits. And the next time you log in, it activates. So none of us are immune.
What's a good resource for people, for small business owners to check out to find out more about this?
Education. There's lots of webinars and different things like that online. There are lots of consultants who deal specifically with this. For example, Workplace, we offer a training class, because we recommend that proper training, compliance training, becomes part of your organization's strategy to manage security, cybersecurity. And so we recommend very highly getting educated on the subject. Many of the steps have to do with behavior modification. Many of the, you know, the changes is behavior modification. Checking before you download anything. Oftentimes, it's something as simple as PDF, for example, Adobe, Acrobat. Make sure that it's from a legitimate source. If you're going to, for example, start create an account somewhere, make sure that that website is secure. And you know, do you know how to recognize a secure website? If you're not able to recognize a secure website, you probably shouldn't be creating online accounts. You know, managing your passwords. I know passwords are a headache for all of us, for me and everyone else, because the recommendation is that you have a different password for each website or each account that you're going to access. And oftentimes, I've been guilty of that myself. You prefer to just create one password and use that one password across all your accounts. Bad, bad idea. Because
so they're actually doing us a favor by making us change our passwords, whether it's once a month or twice a month, because I hate that.
Absolutely.
I hate when they make you automatically change your password.
I hate it too. Yeah. I'll admit, I hate it too, but it's for our own good, because it stops the hackers, because hackers don't sit down with a computer and just manually enter passwords until they find the right one. They have software that's designed to break down your password. And the easy passwords take less than 10 attempts for them to be able to break it down. So if you're using the same password across all your accounts and you're using, you know, ABC123 as your password, you're in trouble. Because once the software identifies that that's your password, then they start plugging that in to all of your accounts. Hello. You know, it's a whole different day. And one of the things that, one of the tidbits that I'll give here too, is that we should start thinking about our email as the most vulnerable account that we have. Because in our email, we receive communication about what? All of our other accounts. Mm-hmm. So if your email account is hacked, then chances are, the hackers will have easy access to all of your other information. So, you know, the special characters and uppercase, lowercase, and, you know, numbers mixed in, it's for a good reason.
Well, we appreciate the insight. Again, you can find Workplace Learning Solutions on the web, workplace-learning-solutions.com. Follow them on Twitter at WLS Training Co. Bridget, we appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Matt.
All right, so let's get back with our third guest, and that's Pete Hajar from Reliable Restoration. I want to find out more about your business, because it's not just, you mentioned earlier, you're servicing businesses, but residential as well?
Absolutely, Matt. Clients trust Reliable Restoration to represent their needs and bring their homes back to pre-loss condition. Our A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and 90% referral rate really says it all. On average, we handle about 15 to 20 water losses that occur in a house every month.
Wow.
And in related to fires between Gwinnett, DeKalb, and Cobb County, we're actively working on about six projects, new projects every single month, helping homeowners navigate their claim process, getting them set up with the Red Cross, putting them in a hotel, getting their house boarded up, and then going through the mitigation process, the contents, storage and cleaning thereof, and reconstruction. So we pride ourselves on working directly for the customer. We're not on any given programs with insurance companies. We represent their needs.
Are there a lot of companies doing what you do? How are you different from some of those companies?
Well, what makes us different is we truly represent the client. And that means, as I said, we're not on any preferred vendor program. So many times a homeowner will contact their insurance company, and the insurance company says, well, we have someone we can send out right away. That's a red flag, because at the end of the day, 95% of all their leads come from the insurance company. So you really have to ask yourself, you know, can a company serve two masters? Can I serve the insurance carrier? Can I serve the homeowner?
Right.
And if the insurance company is feeding me, you know, I think we all know the answer. At Reliable, we never have, and we never will. I'm looking everybody in the eye when I say this. We will never be on any preferred vendor program. We believe in the utmost transparency, and will only represent the client's interest. With that said, we have respectful and respected relationships with every insurance carrier out there. We're not on anyone's blacklist, as they say. And one of the things that we promote throughout our entire organization is our company motto, and that is do the next right thing. No matter what the cost, the client always comes first, and that's without exception.
Now, you've been doing this, you mentioned, almost 30 years. Reliable Restoration, is this just serving Metro Atlanta, or have you branched out beyond?
We have. Our services take us from Georgia to New York, from Florida to Texas. While the majority of our work is in the Southeast, no client's too far to help. With that said, we have 30 partners that help us. We set up what's called the Reliable Service Network, and our network partners, staged throughout the country, can respond in 60 minutes to any size loss. And I'll give you an example. Right after Hurricane Sandy, we got called into New York City, and we worked on a building called Wall Street Plaza. That was in Lower Manhattan in the financial district. That was a $27 million project. So here we are, little company from Norcross, going up to the big city. It was an eye-opener. We didn't have electricity or water or heat for 5 days. And we toughed it out, but we did what we needed to do. I'm very proud to say, and it's a fact, that Reliable Restoration had the first major high-rise in all of Lower Manhattan with tenants moving back in. 17 days after that storm, tenants were moving back in. We beat every single national company.
How many people do you have on staff to make something like that happen? I mean, is that all hands on deck at that point?
It was. We have 23 people out of our Norcross location that work full-time. We have approximately 50 what we call permanent part-time workers, so they're well-versed in our industry. And then we have national contracts set up around the country in various regions for that skilled labor. So when a disaster occurs, for instance, when we had the freeze, we had the two freezes, right? We had 2 years ago the polar vortex, and then last year. What we did was we brought in partners from outside the region, and in a five-day period, we serviced 56 residential clients and 19 commercial clients.
Wow. So, before we run out of time, we're talking with Pete Hajar from Reliable Restoration. They're online at choosereliable.com. You mentioned that Reliable uses technology to assist its commercial clients. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, what we have is we have a program called PREP, and PREP is our Priority Response Emergency Plan. So what we'll do is we can take a commercial structure, and we'll go in and we'll photograph the fresh water shutoff, the fire suppression water shutoff, and then we'll go through and we'll photograph and document the secondary fire suppression shutoffs. So let's think about this building. For the viewers out there, we're in about a four-story building, is it? We're in a four-story building. Each floor has a shutoff and possibly two that controls the sprinkler system. So we had an example at a assisted living center recently in Alpharetta. It was a three-winged building with up to five stories. in the C wing, a resident had a ring, a decorative ring that goes around the sprinkler head. It fell down. The lady called maintenance, and the maintenance person, in their infinite wisdom, thought they could get this ring on by pulling on the head. Well, that head is under 165 PSI, pounds per square inch. It's a one-inch riser that comes off a two-inch delivery pipe. That one-inch pipe at 165 PSI produces approximately 20 gallons per minute.
That'll get you in trouble real quick.
Real quick. There was a total of 12 residences that were flooded, five hallways, stairways. The shame of it was the shutoff for that valve was merely 10 feet across the hall down a stairwell. All maintenance had to do at that point was to turn the supply knob clockwise and then take the drain lever and pull it down. That would have stopped a lot of water. The water ran for an hour and 15 minutes.
Wow.
So let's do the math there. There were thousands and thousands of gallons spilled. That didn't have to be. With our plan, with when we map the buildings, we'll provide a printed document. But where we use technology is we store all that information on the cloud. So anybody with a smart device can pick up their cell phone or their iPad and quickly determine where are the shutoffs in my building and get to it. We've even trained tens and tens of companies out there for help on their second shift. So, you know, Bob or Jane is working the second shift. It's 10 o'clock at night. Sprinkler head goes off or a pipe bursts in the wall. They can call Reliable and, geez, what do I do? All our technicians have their building map on the phone. We can direct them, or we can tell them, go to your app, go to your phone, go to this stairwell, turn off this valve. So we're truly mitigating losses.
Well, hopefully people can use you for preventative services, not in case of emergencies, but in either case, choosereliable.com is the website. Pete Hajar from Reliable Restoration, we appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
All right, so our fourth guest is Captain Eric Jackson, again with DeKalb Fire. And one of the interesting things, when we started our business about 4 months ago, one of the first things that we had to do was go to the fire marshal.
Yes.
And get our location signed off on. Talk about that, because people don't realize, they think of DeKalb Fire, you're responding to fires.
Right. And of course, anyone that's opening up a business, there's two places they should actually go. One, you mentioned the fire marshal's office, but the other is the DeKalb County Office of Planning and Sustainability. What we want to do is we want to really wrap our arms around your business. We want to take a personal interest in your business from a county perspective. But having said that, we want to make sure that you're operating it in the most safest and efficient manner possible for you to be able to benefit for yours and your family. It's important that you make that visit to us, because we want to determine just what your scope is going to be. We want to know what type of building it is that you're desiring to use or want to use, the type of business you're going to run, because that information is going to dictate what sort of fire codes your business will need to adhere to, what adjustments will need to be made, whether or not plans will need to be drawn up, which we'll talk about here shortly. So it's very important that those first initial steps, and even in before you ink your name on a leasing agreement, come give us a call, come visit us so that we can talk and discuss your future plans in having a business here in DeKalb County.
Yeah, tell us about those plans. Why is that important?
Plans are important because, again, based upon your scope, your occupancy, or the type of business you want to run, certain codes come into play. Based on your business, will you require sprinklers? Will you require a fire suppression system, as Mr. Hajar has mentioned? Are there going to be some other codes that you will need to adhere to in order for your business to open its door? So we want to make sure that you make us one of your first stops. That way, you get us on the front end, thus not having to pay for it, not literally, but proverbially, on the back end.
This is DeKalb Business Today and DeKalb Business Radio. Matt Holmes talking with Captain Eric Jackson from DeKalb Fire. You mentioned fire suppression. What are the types of fire protection or fire suppression devices that people need in their businesses?
For starters, in DeKalb County, there's an ordinance that requires all businesses to have a fire extinguisher. You also want to make sure that you have some of the basic items, your smoke alarms. You want to make sure that, and again, depending on the type of business that you have, you may require a sprinkler system. It may require or maybe a good idea to have a alarm notification system, a system that will plug right into the alarm notification company should a fire alarm or smoke alarm be detected in your particular business. So you want to make sure that you square away those types of devices or those types of, devices, notification systems within your business before you actually open your doors.
Those are things that business owners want to do. They also need to do them because you guys do inspect.
Absolutely. And based on those inspections and based upon your type of business, that inspection by the fire marshal could be, quarterly, monthly, biannually, or once a year or annually. So again, that step, that visit to fire marshal's office is going to yield a lot of information to help you figure out just what are the next steps, where do you need to go, and how you need to go about obtaining those.
How about with the ADA? How does that change the licenses and the permitting process?
Well, if you open up a business and it's a business such that it will require, or you may have persons in wheelchairs, for example, to enter the business. If there's no way for them to access the business, that could be rather cumbersome and troublesome for them. So you want to make the necessary adjustments. So that may mean having a private contractor, for example, come out, unfortunately at your expense, but they may need to come out and make a cut into the sidewalk, making it accessible to your building. You may need to have automatic doors that at the push of a button, that door will open inwardly or outwardly automatically if someone is on crutches, making so that there are the proper notification devices. For example, someone who is hearing impaired, mm-hmm. You need to have some smoke alarm notification, i.e. strobe lights, that will give them the indication that there's an emergency so that they can in turn exit that building safely. So those types of things we want to make sure we pay attention to. And at this point, there's really no choice in matter because it is a law that we make those things happen for all businesses.
Right. With certain businesses, certain entertainment venues, you'll walk in, you'll see the certificate of occupancy that says the fire marshal says X number of people can be in here. Why is that important? Why is that a part of the deal?
Well, just for starters, the CO or the certificate of occupancy is basically a certificate simply to occupy that particular space. Having that CO is important because that is the last step in in the CO process. There are a number of things that the fire marshal is looking for, and the other businesses or the other inspectors within the Office of Planning and Sustainability. You know, there's electrical issues they need to look at. Excuse me. There's water issues. There's other things that they'll need to look at and make sure that are certified by county standards. Then the fire department, which has the lion's share part of the CO process, we need to make sure that your alarms are working properly, your exit signs are properly illuminated, making sure that your exit ways or your means of egress and access are not blocked or anything like that. So there's some things that we go through with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that you're in compliance. Mm-hmm. Once you complete your CO, that is the last step on your way to obtaining your business license, because in order to have a business license within DeKalb County, you must have a certificate of occupancy.
In my other job, I work at Colony Square in Midtown, mm-hmm. 24-story behemoth.
Very
and just
familiar.
Yesterday, they had to do a fire drill. Now, we think of fire drills as schools or, you know, whatever. 24-story building had to do a fire drill. This is something that all businesses have to do, or it's recommended?
It's certainly recommended. And again, based upon what you have, what your business is, what the scope is, it's something that may be required or it may not be. Now, if it's not required, you should personally make it a requirement, because you can never do too many fire drills, just as you can never have too many smoke alarms in your house. We certainly recommend a number of smoke alarms in the house, but you can have as many as you want to make sure that you get out alive, because ultimately it's your life that we're talking about. But as it relates to the fire drills, the same thing. They may be required twice a year or once a year, but it's important that you practice those, because if you don't, then when the real thing comes along, then you'll kind of be at a loss as to where to go. You want to make sure that the exit stairwell, for example, that's closest to your office leads down to the street and not the garage. So I something that I do whenever I go on vacation, I stay at a hotel. One of the first things that I do, and I'm kind of teaching my sons, not that they want to be firefighters, but we walk the stairwell because we want to know where they go. Some stairwells, when you open the door and go in them, they lock behind you.
Uh-huh.
So is that a place you want to be? We walk them all the way down. We want to make sure that they lead out to a place of safety. Is it the parking lot? Is it the street? Is it the side of the building? So doing those fire drills allows you to practice those. It also allows you the opportunity to find out who may need extra help in the building. It would be presumptuous on our parts to assume that everyone is able to walk ably. Thanks to ADA, there are folks that can come to work in wheelchairs and crutches and walkers and things. Well, we know that they aren't going to be able to move as fast as us. So we have to be able to kind of step outside of ourselves and assist those people or designate or plan on assistance for those individuals, because at the end of the shift, we want to make sure that everyone gets out alive. And so doing those fire drills is important, and it'll also reinforce the fact that when the bell rings and it goes off, it doesn't mean that, okay, we take our highlighter and we just highlight this one more fact before we get downstairs. That means drop everything and let's go now. If you can't grab it on your way out, you got to leave it. That's what you're supposed to do. So doing those fire drills is very important.
Before we wrap up with that, yes. as a public service, we're about 36 hours away from the end of daylight savings time. They've always said that's when you're supposed to check or change your smoke detector batteries. Is that still accurate?
Oh, absolutely. Spring forward and fall back. So you want to make sure that in a mnemonic that we have, well, that's the mnemonic. We want to make sure that individuals check their smoke alarms monthly and they change their batteries twice a year when the time changes. Now, that being said, there are some alarms that we are aware of that have 10-year lithium batteries. Still go ahead and check them. Make sure that they're working properly and that they're functioning the way they should. And while you're at it, go ahead and check your fire extinguisher. Make sure that the needle is in the green, and you just may want to turn it right side up. We don't want anyone to throw their back out, but for those extinguishers that aren't too heavy, that you can, you know, pretty much carry in both hands, just shake them up and invert them. And the reason why we ask folks to do that, because the expellent on the inside of the extinguisher will stick. So we want to shake it up, give it a little life, so that if you do have to use it, you can, knowing that all the expellent will come out. And of course, we ask that you use a mnemonic, pull the past mnemonic, pull, aim, squeeze, and sweep. Pull the pin, squeeze the handle, aim the hose, and in a sweeping motion, extinguish the fire, allowing the fire not to be, allowing for you to back away from the fire so that if things don't go right, you have a way to get out. So we're always preaching safety. That's what we do. And we often say, I often tag out with saying, train as if your life depends on it, because it does. And that is certainly a fair assessment, a fair mantra for DeKalb County Fire Rescue.
All right, Captain Eric Jackson from DeKalb Fire, some great advice. We appreciate that. As we wrap up for our three business owners here, and sometimes we like to ask, you know, for people listening who might be starting up their own companies, some advice that you would give to people who, you know, want to be in your shoes, want to have their own successful company. And Linda, we'll start with you. I know that you've been in business for a while. What's one piece of advice?
I'd have to go back to plan. Take a day, take a couple of days, slow down, really think it through. It's a lot easier. It's like building a building. It's a lot easier to change it on paper than to change it in the real world.
How about you, Bridget?
I have to echo that. Planning is essential, but also make sure you know what it is that you want to do and be prepared to donate a lot of your time towards it, because it's not going to be successful overnight. In a lot of cases, I started my business in 2010, so we are just a little over 5 years in. But the first 3 years were nothing but planning, and there was nothing coming in. And you know, there were times when I wanted to give up, there were times when I'd get up at 5-6 in the morning and not go to bed till like 3-4 in the morning, literally. So these are things that we need to be aware of. Sometimes people think it's easy working for yourself or starting your own business, but you actually work way more than if you had a 9-to-5 job.
Pete, what are some of the lessons you learned? I'll give you the last word.
I think the biggest thing for me was to find my why. Why do I want to do this? And my why, quite simply, is a passion to help. There's nothing better than and Captain Jackson, you probably experience this many, 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 many times. There's nothing better than going to a scene. You know, someone's house is upside down. Their building is in a disarray. Going in there, getting the situation stabilized, and then helping them rebuild. That's a tremendous, tremendous feeling. So that's my why. Find your why. And then, like it was said previous, plan. You know, put a plan together, execute that plan, and then monitor and make adjustments as you need.
Very cool. Some sage words of wisdom from people who have been there and done that. And we appreciate you guys being here today. Pete Hajar from Reliable Restoration. You can find them online at choosereliable.com. Linda Martin with Goodwin Growth Works. They're on the web at goodwingrowth.com. Bridget Lewis from Workplace Learning Solutions, workplace-learning-solutions.com is their website. And Captain Eric Jackson of DeKalb Fire, find them online at DeKalbFireRescue.org, on Twitter at DCFR Pub Affairs. So make sure to check that out as well. We appreciate you guys being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That'll do it for this edition of DeKalb Business Today. We'll be back here same time, same place next Friday, so make sure to check us out then. Until then, for executive producer Jason Becknell, I'm Matt Holmes. We'll see you next time.